is Steve Russell, Connie Roska's attorney.
Steve, hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, are you really good?
Well, better than I was when I was working for CPS.
Yeah. I heard that they transferred you and you end up in a position you didn't like very well.
Well, what happened was they put me on sex abuse. I was still in the same division, but working sex abuse, and it was icky.
Yeah, I know.
And then they did some other things that really ticked me off, so I quit. I mean, I just quit.
Well, Connie said that I should call you. You might have some information.
Well, I got to thinking last night, and I know of another case. And this mom could really use some help, and it's basically almost exactly the same thing they did to Connie. Only in this case, they took the children. They took three children away from mom, stating that basically saying that she was not protecting her children from this guy that she was living with, and there was a court order that she was supposed to stay away from this guy.
Right.
Well, she got pregnant with twins by this guy. They're his kids.
Yeah.
They took them away from her in the hospital 2 days after she had them and put them in foster care. Actually misquoted some people that were giving her parenting classes, stating that she was a bad parent and everything, and put the children up for adoption without really working with her. Now, this is according to people that I've talked to that work with me in an outreach program.
Why did they do this? I mean, you know, I
don't know. We've been trying to find out. They said because the three other children were at risk, that put her babies at risk, and
yeah.
took them out. And frankly, the adoption has gone through, and she will never get her children back. Now, get this. She went into hiding recently because she just gave birth to another set of twins. And I've been in contact with the CPS worker who said if they find those babies, they will also take them away from her.
Yeah, you know, I had a client come in last year in December who had her rights terminated to six children last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't tell her.
Seven.
Yeah, see, they didn't tell her that that they were going to take the kid. They just waited. And then when she gave birth, they took the child. Now, I was able to get the child back, so she has the child. But I was able to do it because she came in right away. And
this lady is afraid. The reason that she didn't do anything when her first set of twins was taken is because she was pregnant, and she knew if they found out that they would take those babies.
Sure.
She's in hiding right now. We've heard from her, but we don't know where she is because she won't tell us.
Mm.
CPS called our agency yesterday and accused us of writing an anonymous letter to them stating that we knew where she was, but we weren't going to tell them because they were ruining her life. Now, give me a break.
Yeah.
We're not
going to
do that. We're professionals.
Sure.
But they said that the letter told them that she was at LDS Hospital, and then I was given explicit instructions not to tell anybody else in my agency where she was because they didn't want her warned, because they're going to follow her to try and find her baby.
Yeah.
Does that not sound like Gestapo stuff to you?
Well, yeah, it's pretty weird.
I just hate this.
I know. And you know that the problem is there are kids that are abused, and we need something,
you know. I worked for the agency for a year, and I know that. But they're railroading another client of mine that I'm going to court on tomorrow. The same thing.
Wow.
Just somebody got to be in their bonnet, doesn't like her, and wants to hurt her for some reason.
Yeah.
And are bringing her to court on an unsubstantiated crime.
Well,
I'm getting really tired of this agency.
Yeah, me too.
And they seem to me like they've got more power than they should have to go in and take people's kids away from them.
Right. Now, you're aware that Judge Van Dyke struck down several provisions of the statute as being unconstitutional.
Well, that's what Connie said.
Yeah.
And I heard from Connie last night, and so I called today to the Attorney General's office just to see if they'd really knocked it, because I got subpoenaed to be in that trial.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, that the judge had done it, that he had come down for them on every other statute. Well, then in the paper tonight, I say that that's not true. He judged a couple of things unconstitutional.
Yes, he ruled that the right to take a child without a warrant, unless there's an emergency, is unconstitutional. So he struck down 62A201. I can't remember what it exactly was, 4A201. And then he struck down the provisions that relate to the treatment plans, using them against a parent at the termination proceedings.
I think that is so great.
So,
because that's what they're trying to do with this woman that I'm going to court on tomorrow. They're trying to make her give her kids Ritalin.
That's right.
Against her better judgment.
Well, that's another problem that he didn't fix. See, you're not... There was a case back in 81 that Dallin Oaks wrote the decision on it in the Supreme Court that basically said, look, you can go ahead and change custody to protect a kid, but there's some things you can't do unless you prove substantial abuse, neglect, and abandonment by a preponderance of the evidence. And you cannot, for instance, take away a parent's right to consent to medical treatment. But after the adjudication hearing, they do that all the time without having to prove substantial abuse, neglect, or abandonment. They just prove he's not receiving proper care. Judge Van Dyke didn't strike that down. So I think we're going to appeal that. The other thing I think we're going to do is sue the agency for what they did to Connie.
I wish we could do that with Marie. I wish I could find her and have her at least talk to you.
I'd be willing to help her.
Attorney.
Yeah, well, I know. A lot of them can't. I take as many as I can. Some of them can afford to pay a little. Some can't pay anything. But, you know, I can only do so much. I'm just one guy, you know.
When I very first met you, I was a little bit worried about what you were doing with the agency. But after seeing what they have done, I'm all for it. I'm getting to the point where I just cannot believe what they're doing to these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying that it's all the time and it's all the workers.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, absolutely not. Well, you know what? Sometimes they guess right. Sometimes they go in with not enough and they find out later these people were bad.
Well, you know, when I was on the stand, you had me confounded because what I wanted to say and couldn't because I had to protect my job was, I'm a probationary employee and I do what my supervisor tells me to do.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it was.
Yeah.
You know, she can say that it was cooperation and the collaborative effect all she wants to, but bottom line is she makes the decision. I do it because I'm an employee.
Oh, sure.
Who's on probation, and they told me right up front, we can fire you for any reason at all.
I know, they can, because you're an at-will employee. However, they lied to you in that they cannot retaliate against you for trying to do the right thing when you see something bad happening, so you probably have a claim against them as well. But
there were just too many, and right now I am just livid. In fact, there's a lot of us who are livid about this poor lady who's going to lose 7 children to the system.
Yeah.
And we have no idea why they're doing this.
Well, if she'd come and see me, I can at least talk to her and maybe get some information, and I could even contact the agency, the caseworkers and the others, and maybe get some information before I'm retained. They might do that.
Let me see if we can find her. I'm not sure where she is, but I'll see what we've got, what our legal rights are. We are a contracted agency through DCFS. I work for Family Connection.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize our license or anything, but I'm just worried about this lady. I just feel I can't. The kids are in danger because she's underground and she's trying to hide them.
I know. There's a couple in North Dakota doing the same. Yeah, there's a couple in North Dakota doing the same thing. Their child has a rare bone disease which causes spontaneous fractures. They've got a doctor that will testify to that. But the agency's blaming them, so they fled the state with their child. You know,
that's what I'm afraid this lady's going to do, is just flee. She feels like she actually told the worker, I feel like I've sacrificed 5 children to keep 2, and they will take these children over my dead body.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
They shouldn't push people to suicide. I'm sorry.
I agree. And Connie was just about there.
No. I talked to her last night, and I apologized. I said, you know, Connie, if it had been me, I'd have left him. I'm not saying that there weren't concerns there. Not
oh, sure.
Going on.
Well, he was pretty ill.
But he wasn't sick enough to take him out of the home.
Right.
We could have left him there, and he wouldn't have gotten worse over the weekend. And she would have actually got the doctors in to work with him.
Well, that was your opinion at the time. Who disagreed with that?
My supervisor. And not only my supervisor. Well, it got out of hand. It started out as Munchausen, which they said is really hard to prove in all these meetings that we have.
Right.
It's very hard to prove. And so we're going to go with medical neglect. And I was the only one that said, wait a minute. How can you prove medical neglect when the woman's got 5 doctors that see him regularly?
Right.
And she takes him to the doctor on an average of once or twice a week?
Yeah.
That's not medical neglect.
It's completely opposite of Munchausen.
I know.
See, either she takes him too much and he's not sick, or she's really taking him a lot and he is.
And what I said was, well, you know, and I talked to the doctors in Los Angeles who didn't know a lot other than what they were getting from us, and they said, it sounds like Munchausen, so why would you go medical neglect? And
right.
I said, because they said, we can't get her.
Right.
And that's what they said.
Why did they want to get her, though? What does that mean?
That's the mindset they have. Let's get them. We can get them on this, but we can't get them on that.
Well, who said that?
Oh, I've heard it a lot.
Really? On Connie's case?
On Connie's case, on other cases.
Well, can you tell me who said it? Do you remember?
I can tell you whose advice it was not to go for Munchausen, and that was Mark May.
Mark May.
He said that we don't have enough to substantiate, or to, you know, we will lose the case if we go in with Munchausen,
right.
What he said.
Well, but why don't you send him home? Did anybody suggest that? I mean,
no.
So why not just leave him home?
No.
But,
no.
In fact, they were very angry when Judge Van Dyke actually sent the child home.
Really?
I, on the other hand, was glad because he was just getting worse by the minute.
Right, right. Well, he was very depressed.
Depression.
Yeah, he was real depressed.
And I visited him, and I thought, whoa.
Yeah. Well, after you talked to Dr. Gooch, and she said, no, we're doing the right thing.
What I got from them is Dr. Gooch doesn't know anything. She's a doctor of rehabilitation medicine. They didn't know at that time she was an internist as well.
Yeah.
And we've got other doctors saying that that's not true, and Dr. Gooch is not very cooperative.
Now, they told you they had other doctors saying
that? We did have other doctors. We had the one in UCLA, and then we had Dr. Evans and his bench from the Tanner Clinic.
Well, but did he say that Connie was neglecting the child?
No, he did not, although he was worried that it might be Munchausen.
Right.
And there were a couple of doctors at Tanner Clinic who actually thought it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, after you guys gave up on the claim at the shelter hearing at Munchausen.
Yeah, and what I did was I talked to Craig, and I said, you know, maybe, just maybe, this isn't Connie. Maybe it's the kid.
Yeah.
Maybe Rusty likes the attention.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to be getting better day by day.
Yeah, he's getting better.
And that's happy.
Well, after Mark May heard that, did you ever have any conversations with Mark May?
I did not. The people that I talked to, let's see, Mindy Sneddon, I think Neil Ashbridge was in the meeting. Katie Larson, for sure, was in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Does she have the same attitude? Let's get him.
You know, I don't know. All I know is that I was instructed by those people in this meeting that I was to substantiate for medical neglect. That's what they told me to do.
What? How did they ask you?
Well, they didn't ask me.
But
I was a probationary employee,
yeah.
And they are my superiors.
How do they tell you to do something like that? I mean,
well,
don't they say, what have you got? You mean they actually told you to go find something on her?
Actually, they didn't. With what we had,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, we have a... If you guys want to substantiate anything, we have a stronger case for Munchausen than we do for medical neglect.
Right.
Based on the fact that the lady's taking the kid to the doctor all the time.
Right.
So if you really think mom's doing it, then it's Munchausen. It's not medical neglect.
Right.
She's taken him to the doctor.
Right.
Left and right.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we can't prove. It's really hard to prove. I'm going to go for medical neglect.
Well, and then what did they tell you to do?
They told me to substantiate for medical neglect, and then...
But, I mean, how do you do that?
Okay, well, in my case, you get the... They have a whole big rigmarole that you do, and you investigate it, and then you... Then you look at the policy and you substantiate the case, and then you take it to the attorney general and have them file a petition. Is basically what I did.
But how can you substantiate it if you've got all this evidence that she's taken him to the doctor? You know.
Yeah, I said that. How can I do that? And they said, well, he's not getting better.
Well, that's weird.
That's what I said.
Because you know.
Because they told me to. And
you know, Dr. Gooch told me, hey, I got a whole ward full of kids that aren't doing better. They're going to take them, too.
Well...
You know? I mean, they're kids that get, you know, die every day.
I know.
And we can't help.
And I feel really bad, because I'm thinking... I don't know. You know, there were so many things that I worried about, because I had not realized that the school nurse had only seen his kid once.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that she was actually in the school and seeing him on a regular basis.
Just a couple times.
And so, you know, and then I get over here and I'm hearing all of this stuff and some other clients who are saying, now, wait a minute. And it's very prestigious people who are saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, they're not giving these people a chance to actually prove that they can do better.
Yeah. It is kind of sad. Well, you know, their attitude is supposed to be, let's do what's best for the child, not to win.
Okay, the first thing is to protect children, and the second thing in their mission statement is to reunification,
right,
my family.
Right. You don't think that's their attitude?
Well, there's one. I've got colleagues who will say that they actually took those twins because they were cute and adorable and adopted. And in fact, Marie reported to my colleague that Don Red had actually approached her and said, I have got a couple that will adopt your twins. Why don't
we
do a private adoption?
Wow. So you think that was their motivation in this case? That they weren't
That's what they think.
Wow. That's
scary.
I don't
know it, but that's what they think.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you a couple more things?
Yep.
I don't mean to take up your whole evening.
No, that's fine.
But do you have any information on... Connie thinks someone was trying to get her license taken away as a foster care...
As a child care provider.
Yeah.
I know they were. I know they were.
Why?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why I know. Because I got a... By law, when we have something like this and the people have got a license, we have to report it. So I did call her licensor.
Right, right.
And she said, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't think she's doing anything wrong in the daycare. I've been in there when she's had daycare kids there, and I did 30 years worth of daycare.
Yeah.
I know daycare. I know child development really well.
Yeah.
And she's very appropriate with those children, so I don't think you have a problem. Well, I got an email that said, what do you think we ought to do about her license? And this came from Katie Larson again.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed her back, and I said, this issue is not about her child care. Even if she's convicted of Munchausen by proxy, not hurting the kids in her daycare, because
right.
That's not what Munchausen is.
Right.
It's usually leveled at one child, and so why take her license? I don't see the problem.
Right.
Leave the license alone until something happens. If she's found guilty of this, you know, then that you'll have to look at that, because I don't know
sure.
what the license is. Was,
right.
Leave it alone. And Connie was really worried. I remember she called me and when I was still working over there, and she said somebody had told her they might pull her license. She was just freaking.
Yeah.
And I told him that was stupid.
Well, did you get a response back from Katie on that?
I didn't, but I think they dropped it. I hope they dropped it. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just told him my opinion was no. Why is one touch her license? She's not hurting kids.
Yeah. Do you know if, I had a couple more questions for you. Do you know if anybody told Yolanda and Gary to force feed Rusty? When they put him over there?
No.
Okay.
I don't think anybody did. I know I didn't.
All right. Well,
she did call me and tell me... Now, she told me that she was going to put him on a pump, one of those pumpy things.
Right.
Because she didn't have time to feed him as often as Connie did.
Okay.
But that's all I know about that. I certainly didn't tell them to force feed him.
All right. I didn't think you would. Dan Choate, do you know what happened?
He might have.
Okay.
Dan and Darla were the people who actually found the foster. We were having a tough time finding once the decision was made that they were going to pull him, we had a tough time finding somebody who would take him in his condition, and we finally found this lady, and they did say, and so I don't know what Dan said, but he's no longer with the division either.
Well, they transferred him to Moab, I hear.
Yeah.
That's kind of like not being with the division, right?
Well, yeah, he's still with the division, just not with Clearfield.
Right. What about Brian McGuire? Do you know anything about him?
Brian McGuire used to be a supervisor in CPS, and he did other things. And then he was doing something for the region as a general, and they phased out his job. So
Do you know why?
I have no idea. They phased it out quite a while ago.
Oh, okay.
It was just some kind of a shakeup in the organization, and so he had to find a place to light, basically.
Yeah.
And where he lit was CPS. But then he was a little bit involved in the Rusty case, because I asked him to transport Rusty when we took him into custody. He transported him to Yolanda.
Right, yeah.
And then he has since moved on. He got a job with the Foster Care Foundation, and he's the director of the Foster Care Foundation. Brian McGuire is a real bright man. I mean, he knows CPS backwards and forwards and inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can trust what he says about
it. Okay, that's good. All right, well, Shirley, I think we're going to sue DCFS. I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to learn that they need to change. And it could just be the statute that needs to change because they have too much power.
Amen.
But I'm going to try that, too, on appeal. I'm going to try to get the whole thing thrown out. And I've been in contact with some state senators, too, who are interested in changing the statute. But if I file a lawsuit against DCFS, you'll probably be a witness because you were involved.
All right.
And you may have reporters contacting you for interviews, and they're going to ask you things like, you know, why did they change it from Munchausen, and do you think that they were acting in his best interest, and you know, do you think Brian May was just out to get him? I mean, they're going to ask you some really pointed questions, and I don't know how you're going to respond to all that.
I'll try.
Because I know the media was all over this in the beginning, and then the gag order went into effect. And now that it's off, I got some calls today, and I know that Pamela Davis, for instance, at Channel 2 News, wants to know. And I don't want to be saying, hey, there are caseworkers who will testify, unless there really are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll do my best. I'll try. You know, I was concerned about Rusty when I got the case and read everything that the school district had said.
Yeah.
It scared me to death.
Sure.
And
who wouldn't be?
When we did take him into custody, I did turn to Mindy and say, you know, I'll back you 100% on this. Not meaning that I was back pulling him, but that I thought it was Munchausen.
Right.
When I finally started getting feedback from Dr. Gooch and everything, I was thinking, you know, maybe I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then it got really nasty when they started saying, well, it's not Munchausen, we can't prove that, so we'll get him for medical neglect. And I'm going,
Yeah.
Mental health, maybe, because they were told to get him into therapy and didn't.
Yeah.
But
you didn't have Craig or Mark tell you that. You had your supervisor tell you that.
Oh, it was my supervisor.
Yeah, so that was Mindy, huh?
Neither one of those. All I was told was that Mark May had worked on a Munchausen case in Logan, and it was really hard and really...
He won, though.
Really involved, and he did win.
Yeah.
And then when they talked to him about this one, he said, you don't have a chance with this one.
Yeah.
You just won't win if you take it into court for Munchausen.
Right.
So then that's when I think they thought, well, we'll do medical neglect. And I thought, you know, if it's not Munchausen and we don't have a chance of winning in court, what's the point?
Yeah.
If they're willing to accept services, why are we even doing this in court?
Yeah.
Why don't we just go in and provide them with some services that can help them, that can give them some support, and back off.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, see, that's the thing. They never even went in with the first... I was always told that taking a child out of the home was the very last resort.
Well, that's kind of how the statute looks. Even now.
See, that's not what you did in this case. You didn't go in and say, would you like our services? Let us hook you up with some community support systems and some other things that maybe help you.
So do you think they violated the statute then?
You're
going to get that question.
Yeah, and I don't know. I can't tell you that because my supervisor made that decision.
Yeah, sure. But you think that they should have provided services rather than...
I do.
All right. Well, Shirley, we're going to be talking again.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling. And like I... Or Steve, but sorry, Mark, listen to me.
That's okay.
If I find out where Marie is, I'll have her call you.
You bet. And I'll do what I can to help her.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.